All right, let's get our Bibles out, brothers and sisters. Let's get our Bibles out. And we've been telling you over the last several weeks, almost a couple months now, that Jesus Christ is the what? He's the way. And I told you over the last couple weeks or months, I've been saying to you that the early church was known as the what? The way. And we are known as the way for two reasons. First of all, obviously, Jesus says that he is the way. But then Jesus said there are two paths to take. One is the wide road. One is the narrow road. Jesus says the wide road, the wide path leads to what? Destruction. And the narrow road, the narrow path leads to what? Righteousness. In the last couple months, you've been on one or the other. If you were in the middle, shame on you. Sometimes, brothers and sisters in the Lord, we like to straddle, don't we? We have what I call Muhammad Ali theology. I float like a butterfly, but I sting like a bee. Today I'm with you, today I'm not. Today I'm with you, tomorrow I'm not. You straddle the fence, right? One on the wide, one on the narrow. So let me tell you where you really are. No place. You're no place. In the church to Laodicea, when John the Revelator took inspiration from the Holy Spirit and from Jesus, the church in Laodicea said, "Oh, how I wish you were one or the other. Either be for me or be what? Be hot or be cold. Be something. Just be something. But because you're nothing, you're neither. You're not for me, you're not against me. You are the worst kind. You're the worst kind. Because you are lukewarm." And that'd be bad enough if it stopped there. But Jesus said, because of your lukewarm faith and your lukewarm theology, you make me sick. And the word in the Greek and the Aramaic means you make me what? Vomit. Oh, how I wish you were either one or the other. But don't be what? Lukewarm. Be something. Either be for me or be against me. But don't tell people you're for me and live a life like you're against me. We go away on our retreat, we'll find out what we are. Are we lukewarm? Are we lukewarm Christians? We have lukewarm theology, we have lukewarm faith, or is our faith strong? We're going to find that out when we go away. That's part of the deal. That's part of those six lessons we're going to talk to you about. But I've been telling you that Jesus Christ, he's the way. He said, I'm the way to what? And I gave you a whole bunch of things. I know you kept notes. I am the way to the life. I am the way to the truth. I am the way to love. I am the way to peace. I am the way to joy. I am the way to unity. I am the way to the Father. Well, today we pick up another one. That Jesus is the way to forgiveness. Jesus is the way to forgiveness. I know that I gave Yoshiko forgiveness today. And you prayed for people for that. And today we have a lesson in forgiveness. How many really have forgiveness down pretty pat by now? I mean, who could write a book in this room about how to forgive somebody? Anybody write a book? But we are going to study forgiveness. So I'll have you turn into your scriptures, please. And you're going to go to Matthew 6, 14 to 15. That's the Gospel of St. Matthew, the sixth chapter, verses 14 and 15.
For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
This is Jesus teaching on forgiveness. Did Jesus the Christ say forgiveness was important? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jesus the Christ taught on forgiveness in the Sermon on the Mount. And he basically said, hey, look, you don't forgive. Guess what? I won't forgive you. That's harsh. Isn't that done harsh? Because I want all the forgiveness I can get. I want heaping helpings of forgiveness. But when it comes to forgiving you, got some strings attached to that. When it comes to forgiving one another, we got some strings attached to that. But when it comes for him to forgive us, we want the slate to be wiped how much clean? All the way. And Jesus clearly said in the Gospel of St. Matthew, he clearly said, you know, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, well then. neither will the Father forgive yours. Let's turn to Matthew 18, where you are now. Matthew 18, verses 21 to 22.
Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times.
Wow. You see, Jesus was teaching the disciples a whole new paradigm. See, they understood the old law. And it was required back then that an individual could forgive somebody up to how many times? Seven. And so when they came to Jesus and said, hey, I can forgive somebody seven times, which makes me what? Righteous. I've forgiven you seven times. Now number eight's on you. And Jesus says, no, not seven times. There's a new paradigm. It's 70 times seven times. And it's really not the math. You didn't have to graduate from algebra. It just means how often should you forgive somebody? All the time. But see, it's one thing to talk. It's a whole different thing to walk, isn't it? A lot of us can talk the talk, but it's in walking the walk. And Jesus taught in these two passages of Scripture I just told you. He taught those things, but did he do those things? He taught it, but did he do it? Turn to Luke chapter 23, verse 34.
Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots.
Did Jesus do it?
Yes.
He certainly did. Most of you know the Easter story. I'm sure you do. Most of you do. Certainly you know the crucifixion story. Most people know that. And you certainly know the seven last words of Christ, which are really phrases. And this is one of them. When he hung on a cross, after being beaten, whipped and kicked, punched, spit upon, made fun of, crown of thorns put on his head, nailed to a tree. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Did Jesus forgive? Any strings attached? Nope. How many want to be Christ-like in this room? Oh, well, now we've got to talk a different story, aren't we? See, I want to be so much like him, but I'm so full of me. I can't be totally like him because I'm full of me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I can't be like him because I'm so full of what? Me. If there are people in your lives you have not forgiven, you're full of yourself. You're full of yourself. There was once a woman I counseled, and her husband had done something. He cheated on her. I come up with fancy words, but cheated on her. And she decided that she wanted the marriage to work. And I was counseling her, and I told her, well, that's a pretty devastating blow to a relationship. And if you really want this to work, you're going to have to learn to forgive him and forget about it. And she said, I'm going to work on that. Okay, fine. Every Saturday morning for a year, I counseled her. And I finally said to her one Saturday, don't you think it's time you forgive him yet? You know what she clearly said to me? No. And I said, but why not? And she said, he hasn't suffered enough yet. Oh, he hasn't suffered enough yet. Which I was interested in that comment. And I said to her, but where is he today? Golfing. Oh, with whom is he golfing with? His buddies. Oh. And how often does he do this? Every Saturday. Like around 9 o'clock, I suppose. Yes. I said, oh. So he's suffering on the golf course with his buddies while you're talking to me. And she looked at me bewildered, and I said, it seems to me the one of suffering is you, not him. The fact is, there's a saying. It says, when I found out that forgiveness was the key to the prison door, and I used the key of forgiveness and opened the door, I found out that the prisoner was me. That's worth repeating, isn't it? Oh, that's worth repeating. That's worth the trip here this morning, isn't it? When I found out that forgiveness was the key to the prison door, and I used forgiveness and opened the door, I found out that the prisoner all along was me. How many understand that? When you don't forgive somebody, they're not in prison. Guess what? You are. Turn to Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Acts chapter 7, verse 60. And we talked about Jesus teaching it, and we talked about Jesus living it. But let's see, did anyone else do that in Scripture? Let's go to Acts chapter 7, verse 60.
Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep.
This is a stoning of Stephen. Stephen was just stoned to death. Does anybody ever see an example of stoning someone to death? Not too cool. That's not too cool. Stoning to death. Just before he died from being stoned to death, he cried out, his last words were, "Father, do not count this against them." Which means he was asking for forgiveness to them. Stoning to death. Stephen cries out, his last words, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." What is it that you can't forgive somebody something of? Stoning? Nailed to a tree? Beaten, whipped, kicked? Crown of thorns put on your head? What is it? What is that thing that you're harboring against somebody that is so egregious, so terrifically horrible that you cannot possibly forgive them of? Surely there must be a really, really good reason. I wonder how far down the list it would be. If I made a list up here and it said, crucifixion, stoning to death, that's like at the top, and I put your egregious act on there, how far down would it be? Like number three? Would it be like number three? But you don't know the name he called me. Well, I wonder what name he called them. But I only did that because they called it to me first. You know that golden rule part. Do unto others and get out of Dodge. Matthew 18, verses 34 to 35.
In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother from your heart.
You see, in order to be able to forgive, you have to develop it. You have to be able to learn to do it. This is part of the parable of the unforgiven servant. Anybody know that parable? Of the unforgiving servant. This is from that. It says there was a servant who owed a tremendous debt. A tremendous debt. That this person, this servant, could never repay. Ever. And the master forgave him everything. Wiped the slate clean. And then that servant went outside and found the person that owed him a small debt. And threw him in prison. How many of you in this room, truly now, how many of you in this room have had your sins forgiven you? How many of you have had the slate wiped clean? That's true, right? Well, what does the Lord want us to do with the slate that we have on everybody else? Wipe it what? Clean. How would you like this? The Lord has your slate, and he's looking at your slate. And you say, "Wipe mine clean." He wipes it totally clean. He looks at yours and says, "Oh, you got some on yours." So he goes back over and does what? Start right some more on your side. Anybody want that happening? Well, wipe it what? Clean. Romans 12, 19 to 21. Romans 12, 19 to 21.
Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Oh, wow. Whew. There are four faces of anger that human beings are capable of feeling. One is rage. Rage is violent and it's quick and it's ugly. When human beings express anger with rage, it's pretty devastating. Things get thrown and people get hit. It's very loud, explosive. Thankfully, it's short. But in a short 5 or 10 minutes, people can get hurt and things can be broken. How many understand rage? Rage. The second one that we talk about in anger management classes, when I teach it, is resentment. Resentment is when you're no longer angry at the situation, you resent the person. It's no longer about the situation, it's about who? It's about the person. Many people will come to me for counseling where I work, you know, are angry, and I say to them, well, what are you angry about? They can't even remember. Because it's not about that situation, it's about who? It's about the person. The third one is indifference. Indifference goes like this: get away from me, I don't want to talk to you, I don't even care if you live or you die. That's indifference. How many can understand indifference? But here's the fourth one: wrath. Wrath is vengeance. Wrath is planning. You got me, now I get you. And they might not get you today. I might not even get you tomorrow. But guess what? I'm going to get you. Planning. How many understand wrath too? Oh, you'll get yours when you least expect it. Like Candid Camera, you're elected. And this says, don't do those things. Let the Lord take care of it. Don't you think the Lord can deal with it? The Lord can deal with it. Winston Churchill said, the best way to get rid of your enemies is to make them what? Your friends. I wonder how many of us feed our enemies. Or give them something to drink. I wonder how many of us believe that eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Does that mean they punch me, I punch you? Doesn't mean that at all. I wonder how many of us have been dealing with the revenge aspect of our anger way too long. Let it go. And let God be God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32.
Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you.
Be kind to one another, tender-hearted to one another, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. How many of you can remember back when you did some pretty goofy things that you want the Lord to forgive you for? Anybody remember back when you did some pretty goofy things? Guess what? God can't remember it. Only you can. Ain't that something? You see, when God forgives you, not only does He forgive you, but it says He takes that debt and He throws it where? In the lake of forgetfulness. How many of you are awfully glad that God can't remember those things that He forgave you for? I mean, who's really glad? I mean, how many are thanking Him? Well, guess what? That's how you are to forgive too. Don't bring it up. It's where? Gone. Gone. Not in the file drawer to be used at some later date. Where is it, Jamie? Gone. Turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 13, verse 8.
Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law.
Yeah, so you got to love somebody more than the urge to get even with them. How many of you have really come to the understanding that you have no perfect friends? I mean, let's be real. How many of you know your friends are very imperfect? How many's got, when I said that, how many's got names up here of people when I said that? I see it. How many of you know you do not have perfect people in your marriage? I want you to notice I threw her a softball. I lobbed that one. And what did she do? Hit it out of park. Turn to somebody sitting next to you and say, I got bad news for you. You are not perfect. Go ahead. How many's ever been disappointed by a friend? How many's ever disappointed a friend? How many of those people are still your friends? The way it works. It's the way it works. And so we are to what? Forgive, love them. Love them. There's no perfect person. You are not going to marry a perfect person. You are not married to a perfect person. You will not have little perfect people. In fact, as Sissy tells of the, what are the little kids you raise? You're watching, what are they called? The little sinners. So, I call Sissy on the phone. How's things going? She goes, them little sinners. Saved by grace. She sounds like a church lady. Luke 17:3.
So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him.
And let's do Luke 17:4. Read 4, Sissy.
If he sins against you 7 times in a day, and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him.
Okay. Let's just try to clear this one up in a short period of time that I have. Many people will say to me, well, you don't have to forgive them if they did not ask for it. Well, let's explore that. Well, why would I forgive them when they didn't ask for it? Good question. Clearly, God desires repentance, because we just read you 2 passages of Scripture that says, if he repents, I shall forgive him. Who is that that's speaking? Jesus. I shall forgive him if he comes to me and asks for it. But you are not God. God says a person must come to me and seek forgiveness. And I will be quick to what? I'm quick to forgive him. But what about us? What about us? Does a person need to crawl on all fours and humble themselves before the mighty me? Please forgive me. Well, maybe. And maybe not. No, that's not how this works. Turn your Bibles, please. I'll show you. James 4:11-12.
Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?
How many of us know that sometimes we sit in that self-righteous judgment seat, don't we? How many know how to climb on the self-righteous judgment seat? That's why when we get our church, I want the pulpit to be like 20 feet high. So I can look down on the rest of you heathens. That's what I want to do. Look down on all you heathens, and I want to be, you.
Nice.
Nice.
Be closer to the lightning.
Yes. Yeah. That's okay. I forgive you. And so we can't sit in judgment of somebody else. We can't say that was so egregious, and that was so egregious, and that was so egregious, and that was so egregious. Therefore, I'm never going to forgive you because it's so. Well, who are you? Who died and left you, boss? Oh, that's right. He's not dead. He resurrected. Turn to Mark 11:25-26.
And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. When you stand praying, if you have something against your brother, what should you do? Forgive him. Call him on the phone and ask him if he's ready for you to forgive him yet? No. No. You're not forgiving them for them. You're forgiving them for you. And because you have been what? Forgiven. It's not about them. It's about you. And your relationship with God. How many can understand that? It's not about somebody needs to call you on the phone and beg your forgiveness. It's because you begged for forgiveness. And you received it. Show mercy as mercy was given. show grace as grace was given. Grace is what, Sissy? Unmerited favor. How many of you received forgiveness because you were deserving of it? How many of you really, truly, honestly would say, I am so far away from deserving it? I am so far away from deserving it, right, James? Really? No, I haven't been forgiven because I deserve it. I've been forgiven because He loves me. How many understand the truth of that statement? And so we are to forgive people because we what? Love them. But you don't understand what they did to me. Well, is this person an enemy of yours? You're darn right. Well, guess what? Love them all the more. But you don't understand what they did to me. Well, you're probably right. But I know what Jesus did for you. I know what He did. Not about you. It's about Him. You see, those on the wide road, they have a list of people they can't forgive. They're in good company. There's a lot of people on that list over there, people they can't forgive. A whole bunch. On the narrow road, not so much. See, the narrow roads are narrow. You can't take a lot of stuff with you. You can't take a lot of past sin with you. You can't take a lot of people that you haven't forgiven. It won't fit. You got to get rid of the stuff. How many's got people in this room that you need to forgive? Who has somebody in this room you need to forgive? Okay, thank you. Thanks for being honest. Who else? Who's got some people? Thank you for being honest. Thanks for being honest. All right, those individuals who have somebody to forgive that having a real hard time with, I need you something. Just do something really bold for me in the next couple minutes. I need you to come up here and stand with me. Be bold. Be bold. If you have somebody to forgive and you haven't done it, you're having a hard time with it, be bold. Be bold. Come up here and stand with me. All right. Okay. You will see here, very common. For the rest of you, is one of two choices. One, praise God. You forgive everybody all the time. Praise God. You're great. Thanks for the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Or two, you're lying. One of the two. Thank God you forgave everybody in your life. These folks are about to do it now. So those of you who have forgiven everybody in your life, there's no grudges against anybody, I need you to come up and stand behind one of these guys and put your hands on them. Okay, listen. Forgiveness is a really hard thing. It's a really, really hard thing. It is. It's hardest on women most of the time because you have an emotional bond to it. Men, most of the time, can't remember it. It's just the truth. Men like, men is like, I did what when? Really? Women say, yeah, you did. You had a blue shirt on when you did it. Women, you own it. It's part of who you are. So it's really difficult for women. Even though you try, it's difficult. How many women understand that? I mean, it's just there. It's just part of who you are. But Jesus is bigger than that. He's like way bigger than that. And forgiveness is something, you have to remember what I told you, that forgiveness is the key to the prison door. It's the key. Sissy and I know something about that. When we forgave the guy that killed our kid, we understand that. And we did, right, Sissy? Totally. And I'm not haunted by anything in my entire life. It's gone. So whatever it is in your life that you are harboring against somebody else, it is time to lay it down. And the reason why you need to lay it down, because more is coming. And you got to make some more room to lay it down. So let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, here we have in our midst our brothers and our sisters who have a hard time letting some things go. They have a hard time with forgiving a brother or a sister or multiples of brothers and sisters, biologically or spiritually. They have a hard time. For whatever these things, these actions or these words or whatever it was that just seemed to be so egregious at the time and just weighing them down. It's weighing them down. And they need to be set free. They need to be set free. Well, the first thing that we have to think about is all the things for which we sought forgiveness for. All those things that we did in our lives, all those things that we came to you for and said, Father, forgive us of everything. Wipe the slate clean. We should be as gracious as you are with us. Now I know, Lord, that my brothers and sisters could carefully say to me, but I'm not Jesus. I can't do that. Well, that's true. But with the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can. On our own merits, we can do nothing. But with Jesus Christ, we can do all things. So help, Father God, I need to pray, Lord, that many people who know mine and my sister's story will say to me, I never could forgive like you did. And that's a lie. Everyone can. We just choose not to. It's a choice. And so, Lord, here for my brothers and my sisters, we pray for them. We pray for them, Lord, and we ask that these actions or these words or thoughts that's inside of them can go away. Set the captive free. Set it free. So, Lord, I would ask my brothers and my sisters, to pray what I pray in sincerity and with a righteous heart. So I will have my brothers and sisters repeat after me, Jesus, I set them free. I forgive them of everything. As you forgave me, I forgive them. I set the captive free. No more harboring, no more resentment, no more bitterness, no more anger. I hand them over to you. Be gracious unto them. And Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen.